Hi, Danielle.
How are you, Casey?
Oh my gosh, you know. I'm feeling a lot of rage lately, and as many of you know, I struggle with rage issues.
Yes, we know.
I'm taking down people left, right, center, and it doesn't feel great.
Look, can I ask you, and this,
please,
I hope this
please.
Doesn't come off as rude,
sure.
But has any of the therapy or medication or self-help you've done helped with the rage?
It's not, nothing's helping right now.
No.
For a while, you know, I'm going through some IVF treatments. For a while, I was blaming it on that. Haven't been on that medication in a long time.
Oh, okay.
So then that was happening. I'm confronting people left, right, and center. Wow. I said to a dear friend, I said the following statement. Like, she made kind of like an errant comment, and I said something like, I'm going to stop you there.
Uh-oh.
And I want you to ask yourself, what was your motivation behind saying that to me? Because I can't imagine it was anything but to hurt my feelings. Is this true? I will wait for an answer.
Casey, if you said that to me, I would crawl into a hole.
She handled it beautifully and gracefully. You know, I these aren't good things. I'm like, oh, I'm a bad person. Like, I get so angry. Today I was playing tennis. I took my racket like John McEnroe. I like missed a back and I go, the guy goes, whoa.
Wowie, wow.
Whoa. I'm writing emails that are just so shocking. I'm like, I'm not in a good spot, Danielle.
I'm sorry. I mean, I don't think I am either, but I mean, I too am losing it a little. I think January is a hard month, though it is now February.
Oh, it's my hardest month.
It's just a toughie. And I too, though I did have the highlight of my month.
You see, you have had a highlight that I... And I'm happy I didn't get it because it was for you.
You enabled. And that was in our live Bitch Sesh Wet January show at home last week, which I got the surprise of my life. And now, as we said on the podcast last week, just this time last week, that we had a surprise guest for you guys.
That's right.
That Casey and I both had a surprise guest for you guys.
Okay, I have to tell everyone what I set you up with.
You really set me
because
up.
Because it was so much going on. So first... Drew Barrymore was going to surprise
Barrymore
us.
Drew Barrymore was the surprise guest.
Surprise guest for Danielle. She came out. We really found healing surrounding you.
Yes, we did. She was lovely. She was incredible.
Tell us that part and then I'll work backwards and tell you how we got there.
Well, I had thought it was one guest.
You thought it was going to be Andy Cohen.
I thought it was Andy Cohen and that we were surprising you guys.
And Andy knew everything that was going on. I'm like, look, this is...
Andy was also in on this.
This is what I'm telling her. Yeah.
And so... We literally, like, up until, so we're on the podcast, you know, we're on the live show on Zoom, and Casey's like, can I introduce him? And I was like, yeah, sure, I don't care.
I said, I've got something funny.
Yeah, she had, like, a bit, and I was like, oh, she's prepared. Okay. An actor prepares.
This is after you really wanted to, like, go over questions for Andy, and I was like, ugh. I go, it'll be fine. We'll just ask him whatever.
No, but I, you know, I come with questions.
An actor prepares.
Yeah.
Then I was having my manager email you to basically be like, Andy says it's just going to be like easy, breezy fun. Like, we don't need to get into anything. Basically, like, stop wasting Casey's time to prepare.
Because
I knew we could never prepare for this.
I didn't know this was a lie.
No, you wanted to give your guests a terrific show.
Andy, my best journalism.
That's right. That's right.
So all of a sudden, I'm like, so then Casey goes, and here is our guest. She didn't say Andy Cohen.
Well, I said... We have a surprise guest. Guess who? Guess who? It's you.
And I was like, I don't understand. Of course, again, because I've always been flustered by the word you.
That pronoun has really stymied you.
It's really been a thorn in my side.
Yeah.
And so she said, it's you. And then a person comes on and they've got this Meredith Marks.
Chain link, the mask, kind of the chain link piece.
And I'm so confused. And I'm sure you can see it in my face. And any of you that... have watched it. And I think it is. I know it is. It's still up till Saturday evening if anyone still wants to see this on loop.com.
Because it was
it's wild.
Honestly, top 10 moments of my life. And she had her screen name was Meredith Marks.
I know. So I was so confused. I was so confused as to what was happening because I was like, is this Andy? Is this Andy's assistant? Like,
is this Meredith? Is what?
I didn't know what was happening. And then she takes off the mask. And I see that it's fucking Drew Barrymore. And guys, it was the best. I mean, I laughed, I cried. It was incredible. And I want to thank Casey, and I want to thank Kristen Wiig, who was involved in it. I want to thank all the people at Looped. I want to thank Casey's assistant, well, really our assistant, Kristen, who helped out. I want to thank Andy Cohen. I want to thank everyone that was involved, but mostly Casey Rose Wilson. I know I never thank her, but.
And I'm going to shout out Jason Kurtz, who's Drew's producer, who was also, just essential in this.
And thank you, Drew, because she is a light from heaven. And it was just a top 10 moment. And I was so excited. And I was so shocked.
And she shared that you guys have a couple things in common.
She sure did. But let's.
Some tougher.
Tufter.
Things in common. Like a tough muff, for instance. It was so beautiful to see you, Danielle. First of all, when you burst into tears, it was so touching. Everyone in the chat was going crazy. You were crying. It was so beautiful. It was so exciting. She was so excited and genuine and so happy to be there. It was just a highlight of life. It was one of those moments where, and I kept saying this to her producer, I'm like, yes, it's going to be funny, but in the perfect world, it's also so just a beautiful, magical moment. And I really think it was.
It was. I still get chills from it. And I still like, she's such a important figure in my life. Many of people, I think, my age and beyond. But we just really grew up with her. So it was, and I think she's just such a force of nature and such a bright light. So it was a true thrill.
She's also just fucking cool.
Yes.
You know, I got to say it. And I know that word. It's like, what does it mean? She is it. Mm-hmm. She has it, obviously, but she does.
She's super cool.
She just does.
And she's lovely. Oh. Anyway, it was a wonderful moment. If you want to watch it, if anyone wants to, loop.com. Go to Bitch Sesh, Wet January. It's up till Saturday night.
Thank you to everyone who came. We had over 7,000 of you tuned in. Is tuned in the right thing? Going crazy in the chat. We were laughing our fucking asses off. That chat was hot, hot, hot.
I want to publish that chat because nothing is funnier than you guys. You are
I did too. It should be an oral history.
It's you guys are the funniest motherfuckers.
And what everyone was naming themselves, it was like.
I love that chat.
You know, we fixed your sound, Danielle. It was really a big night.
Yeah.
And then you got wasted. Rana, we want to thank Jessica Chaffin and Brian Safi came on from Ask Rana. I mean, your Aunt Rana came on and she had a product, which was a Negrana. She's made Negronis called Negrana. We didn't realize they're basically the alcohol level of like a Manhattan. And you drink typically one sip of wine.
No, and I drank, guys, I was wasted.
People were writing in the chat consistently, RIP Danielle. Like after Drew left, you were just like sinking down in your chair.
I was so wasted. I couldn't get out of it.
No, like, you couldn't. I was like, uh-oh.
I was wasted.
I mean, and then we got to shout out Gabrus, our friend, John Gabrus. played the Cheeto bag on the Sprinter van at Beauty Lab after Mrs. Jen was arrested. And we really got to the bottom of something. The Cheeto bag has not been asked back.
No, he won't be. He is banned for life.
And also he was unfortunately at the insurrection.
It was not a good thing.
He was MAGA. I didn't know the Cheeto bag MAGA.
That. And that was tough. Yeah. We would never have invited them on this show.
Never. Oh my God. It was such a fun show. So many wild things happened.
Yeah. Thank you guys for all who attended.
It was just fun.
The chat was so funny. Anyway, it was cool.
So that was a highlight, Danielle.
Highlight. Now let's talk about lowlights.
And speaking of lowlights, in a second, and I told our guest this too, and I told you, Danielle, but a gal's going to be walking into the room where, you know, we're on Zoom looking at each other, and she is going to touch up my roots.
Casey is never not multitasking.
I mean, look at them. They're just really.
But when I see you in New York, that's another thing. We're going to New York.
Oh, yes. Let's announce our guests. Guys, we've got guests for both shows.
And Boston, too.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to be in Boston, and we cannot wait to see you guys. We're going to be there February 17th.
And we have a guest, Alec Sulkin, who has done the show on Twitter. He is famous, known as the Sulk. He's the funniest motherfucker on earth. He is a killer, and he's a Bravo obsessive.
He's been on the show a few times, had very hot takes. You guys have always asked for him back. He is going to be at the Boston show. He also wrote the movie Ted that everybody loves.
He runs Family Guy. He's the funniest motherfucker of all time.
And guys, so he's going to be our show, our guest in Boston. We're so excited to have him. Then we have two shows in New York. We have the 5 o'clock show with Oh my God.
Living, well, iconic. Let's call her an iconic legend. Z-Way is going to be our guest at the 5 p.m. along with another man that it's a classic duo, really. It's a classic combo. You always see these two traveling together, and that is Z-Way and my father, Paul Wilson.
Paul Wilson is going to be at the 5 o'clock. Guys.
And not only going to be there, Danielle, but we're forcing this man to sing.
Yeah, look, there's a lot. We're doing a lot with Paul, but Paul is always a good time. And Z-Way is just iconic. We're so lucky to have her and that she's will deign to do this because she's a 100%. Fucking superstar. And we're lucky that she still likes us.
And then at the 8 o'clock show, we've got two incredible guests. We've got Greg Bennett.
From Real Housewives of New Jersey to, of course, talk about Real Housewives of New Jersey from us, our favorite friend of.
Greg Bennett. And then speaking of friend of, I mean, one of my dearest friends of all time, we've got Adam Pally from Happy Endings will be on with me. And then we have a surprise guest for both shows. Yeah. That's a real surprise.
Yeah. So surprise, you know, you guys, we always surprise. Sometimes we even surprise ourselves.
Oh, we sure do. There will be singing. There will be dancing. There will be blood.
Yeah.
It's going to be great. Okay, Danielle, one last housekeeping thing. This is just an uplifter that I have to say quickly.
Sure.
Which is that so many of you guys donated to Baby and Family to Family right before the holidays to get kids in need in Los Angeles, Christmas presents. And oh my gosh, they just sent me a packet of photos of all the kids opening the presents. I so bawled beautiful. My eyes out. It was the cutest photos I've ever seen. And I just wanted to extend thanks one more time to everybody who came out and shopped and everybody who donated. It made such a direct impact on a child's life this holiday season. So thank you guys.
Yeah, you guys are always the best. We're the best garbage people around.
You really are. I mean, and we really swing the gamut this crew, you know? It's like, you're giving a charity over here, but we're tearing down a nose job over here. You know, it's a mixed bag. I mean, one of you DM'd me, and I did not say this, Danielle. Somebody else said this.
And said that Jennifer
Aiden's new nose job needs its own spinoff. And and I'm sure that person also gave $100 to Baby to Baby.
Look, two truths can be held at the same time, which is that we are good and bad. We are evil and...
We contain multitudes.
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, here come your
colorist. Here comes Chelsea, my colorist. Hi, Chelsea. Yeah, you can just set your stuff down right here. Oh, wait, Danielle, we have to talk about really quickly the greatest Instagram of all time.
Which was that?
Okay, Kathy Hilton. I love her so much. I mean, this is some Paul Wilson shit. My dad, like who is tweeting his text messages as everyone remembers. So Rick Hilton posts like a photo, just very innocuous photo on his Instagram. And he writes TGIF. Okay, so it's like that's the frequency Rick is on. Okay. Yeah. And then Kathy comments. Then where is it, Danielle? What does she comment?
She says something.
Oh, here it is. And then Kathy comments, please call me. I need to get out of here now. With 5 exclamation points. Please call me. I need to get out of here now. What does it mean? It was so chilling. It's also like I'm picturing her as they're like a home invasion and it's the only like way she could get on. I don't know what it was.
Well, I heard her explain it today. And I heard someone else explaining it. So, you know, I'm probably getting some detail of it wrong. But basically, she was in Aspen with the ladies. I think there was stuff going on. She was in the basement of Kyle's house. Everyone had left. She was scared. She heard noises. And she knew Rick puts his phone away after a certain time of night. He puts his phone in the
Good
other
for
room.
Rick.
But he does sometimes go on Instagram on his iPad. So she said if he's going on Instagram, he'll see that I'm messaging him when he's on Instagram.
Well, and she said, I knew I'd catch him by saying, call me, get me out of here, because I did have my iPad and I had 10% left and no charger. I didn't know what to do.
It's
just get me out of here now. It was so desperate. It was so terrifying. Glad to know she's okay.
Yeah, she seems to be fine.
Oh, God, it's just too much what's going on now. Oh, too much.
Oh, Kathy.
Let's take a quick break and come back with our guest, Danielle.
Please.
Because Chelsea's really mixing pretty loud over there. Okay. And there's some ASMR for you because that was the sound of Chelsea, my beautiful hair colorist. Covering McGray's. Welcome back.
An important sound.
We have such, speaking of important, we have an important guest.
We really do. Now, this person has always been sort of a part of our podcast. Even
Oh, absolutely.
Like, the she backbone. Is an official part of our podcast. I would say she's a cast member, a producer, you know, she's really.
Well, she's the ultimate friend of.
Yes. She really
ultimately,
is.
And not only that, I mean, she's looking like maybe she wanted to be a real full-time housewife. You know, I was just sort of thinking of Danielle and I in those roles. But but I think, you know, not only a fan favorite, hilarious person, dear friend, also is the brains and creativity behind all our comedy videos that we do and all our live shows.
She is. So she's multifaceted and is a business woman herself, besides being a hilarious creative.
Actress, writer. Montage queen, and we'll let her tell us about that at the end because this is really big.
Please welcome Deanna Chang.
Wow, what a intro. I'm lifted. Casey, I'm so happy to see you getting your hair done for this. It feels right.
It really does feel, it feels good, doesn't it?
It feels comfortable.
It doesn't feel wrong. Like, I don't blink. I don't move. I'm just like, this is part of our podcast, really.
Deanna Chang, welcome. We have so much to discuss today. I believe we need, it's so hard. It's like, do we kick off with Jersey? Do we kick off with Salt Lake? Because there's so much going on in both cities.
Both cities. I don't know where to begin. I feel like Salt Lake just because we've been on that journey and
okay.
Jersey is a new journey that we're about to embark
okay.
on.
And then OC is just a long journey that we've been on for 16 seasons.
It is what it is right now. But should we start off with Salt Lake City? Because we had a wild.
Woo!
I mean, after the highs of last week in terms of we all ended on such a good note, to go to the dark depths of hell again with a on boom moment where someone thought they weren't mic'd and said it all was a shock.
Now, people are saying it was boom, but also it seemed like she was mic'd or she thought she took off the mic. But just because you take the mic off also doesn't mean it can't pick up sound.
Yeah, I don't know what Lisa knows.
As Meredith has posted, if it was a gentleman or woman holding a boom mic, they would have been in the room with her. We didn't see them in the frame. The boom is a huge, huge object.
Yeah.
Whatever it was, Lisa Barlow was caught in a rant of a lifetime.
She couldn't get to her portals. That's right.
No, she couldn't ground herself in any portals.
But like, Lisa's always producing, so she may have known exactly what she was doing as well. Like, I think we just have to know that as we proceed.
I don't think that on any level, because to me, this was the rawest, realest, the fucking bitch that we've seen her to be inside, but she's been keeping a little lid on. Mm. But it's like, this is what people have been bumping up against, which is this side of her, this dark side. And I don't think that is what she would have wanted out there.
You don't think that storm off, which was pretty much unprovoked, right? Like, she stormed off with shenanigans.
But she's a narcissist. She is we've seen a lot of narcissists on the show. But she is such a complete narcissist. Like, there was that moment where she's like, where Heather was like, I feel bad for you. She's like, I feel bad for me too.
And now, again, we said this last week, but to her credit, she did handle the sprinter van moment when Jen lunged at her and tried to kill her pretty well.
Beautifully.
I felt so. She might have had some pent up just like feelings. But like, that monologue to me was so dark, considering, like, you know, it wasn't like that monologue was about Mary. This monologue was about Meredith, one of her best friends.
But that's why she's so hurt, because this is someone she considers to be her best friend, even though she didn't treat her best friend that well. She, you know, but someone she considers to be her closest friend on the show. And so when she felt like she wasn't being stuck up for and that everyone was ganging up on her and no one that Meredith, her strongest friend, wasn't there for her, she's just lost it. And then she was like, okay, I'll show her, basically. Like, she's a fucking bitch.
So, Danielle, you also believe she did this on purpose? I think you are the only two people in America that believe that.
No, I don't know that I don't know that she's smart enough to know that. And I also don't, I think she was so angry she just started talking. Like, I've done that, like a child with their mom, like something I hear Sydney do sometimes when she stomps off, like, nobody likes me. You're just yep. mad at me. You know what I mean? Like, just like, what's happening?
It was just some wild accusations.
I mean, here's the thing, though. If any of us get separated, and I hope we don't, we will all be whores in New York for that time of separation. Like, that's a given. So I don't even, you know, do we even
You didn't think that to be a put down?
Didn't feel like one. Like, that's the point of being separated. Like, yeah, you'll probably get back together, but while you're not,
you're going to New York.
Get yours in New York City. Yes.
I thought the point of being separated was like, let's work on ourselves, see how we like
Danielle.
Danielle, come now.
Let's work on ourselves.
Work on ourselves. Let's get worked.
I thought we had an agreement that we
were. We're working on ourselves before we get separated to see if we can stay together. But once we're separated, the only medicine is going
is
to
dick.
New York. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think you're absolutely right, Deanna. You know, there were some harsher accusations, though, to say, you know, she's a whore and that Seth can't hold a job and that's why they don't own their home. Like, it was a lot flying around in that monologue.
I forgot about that one.
Yeah, you're right. She did pile it up.
Yeah, you guys are acting like she just went in and was like, oh, no. I mean, it was a doozy. Because I rewatched it on Watch What Happens Live, and those motherfuckers over there are so savage. They played it, and then I go, here they go. They're going to put Meredith in a little box watching. We got to watch Meredith watch it, and it was.
Oh, so, and what happened? What did Meredith do while she was watching?
You know, she wasn't showing, like, as much expressiveness as I think.
I don't know that her face can, just PS.
And that's what I was getting at. I just can't wait for the reunion because Andy was like, look, she saw that the night before the reunion.
Explosive.
That's what we're going to be watching is the aftermath of that.
Wow.
Tough to be in the outfit she's in the day after watching that. You would rather not be in the outfit we know she's going to be in at the reunion. Mm. You know?
100%. You'd rather be in like a yoga pant and a, you know. Something. You don't want to be in those feathers.
Wow.
The Cinco de Mayo party that Jen threw. I mean, Meredith is just such a little goody two shoes, though. It's like, don't worry about who paid for the party at this juncture. You know, like, first of all, we all know, I think Bravo probably paid for it.
I was like, what's happening, Meredith? Doesn't Bravo pay for all of this? Like, you're not paying for this. What?
It just felt like a lot for me. And then on Watch What Happens Live, she said she put the gift in like a safety deposit box and like lawyers were holding it. And it's like, that's very nice. But I don't know. I was just like, just go down and have your margarita, please, right now. You know, now Jen on Cinco de Mayo to me was kind of the definition of someone who hasn't a care in the world.
Oh, God, this arrest. I know you guys have like discussed it before, but she is light as a feather. The Fed throwing some clink on her was just like the most liberating thing anyone has ever done. She's like, she's free. I think it was she knew it was coming. And it was so daunting that she was like, now that it's actually happened, she's like, dun, 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 dun.
Yes. I wrote, she literally is free as a breeze. She's a fresh breeze who's, it almost seems like she's been brought in to cheer up people who have been indicted.
I'm like, does she know something we don't know? Is she turning state's witness against somebody else? And we can't, because she is light as air. And getting glam to boot when her mother is like turning in her 401k to pay for, like, I just don't know.
That was hard.
What's happening?
But I did like her red lip at the same time.
Of course she looked beautiful, but should she?
No. And I mean, we've got Erica over here. We've got Erica cleared of most charges.
No.
You know?
No, 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 no.
Oh.
And this is what I read.
Okay.
I half read on some blog. So this is kind of honest. That I've heard she's been cleared of charges in Chicago, but there are still stuff pending.
Ironic, given her role.
Yeah. I don't know if I'm right or wrong. Maybe a lawyer can tell me what's what. But this is what I heard, that she has not been cleared of charges completely. It's just her.
Well, I thought she was cleared of the Lion Air charges.
Maybe. I don't know.
I haven't read anything about Chicago. She had it coming. She had it coming.
I was going to say, so Mary says you're disgusting, or something to that effect. You eat Taco Bell.
Right.
And then she says to her, you need more nutrients. To Lisa. Yeah.
You need more nutrients was hilarious. I mean, Mary did sort of methodically take each one of them down clockwise. You know what I mean? Like, she managed to, like, calmly just sort of take out the table. And her family does need more nutrients. Like, that's the truth of the matter.
Yeah. That is,
it's such an interesting angle to come at someone.
It's so bare bones, but it's like, it's simply the truth. She's just running them through the drive-thru. You know, like they do
sometimes
need more
various, sometimes three in a trip. I love Taco Bell. What's wrong with that? Oh, when she said, this was my favorite thing that she said. Lisa Barlow is an amazing person.
She is. There's like a couple of gals out there in our Bravo universe who are just built for this.
Yes.
She's built for this game.
She's a stallion.
Like, Noella is also, you know, lover, hater, built for this, like reared for these, for this moment. Thank God it's happened for them. Like, I don't know what else they're, like, purposes, you know?
Right. Like, what else were they moving towards?
Yeah.
Wow.
And what do we think will be the aftermath? Obviously, Lisa and Meredith are not talking anymore, I assume. Do we know anyone?
No, they're not. And Meredith is, like, posting up a storm with, like, snakes. And Meredith's got a lot going on Instagram right now. And there's a lot of, like, slamming people, but also, like, receipts that she's putting out and this and that and the funeral. And here's the hotel receipt from, you know, my dad's funeral. And the one thing I'm like, guys, what is going on with you guys in the funeral? Who gives a fuck? First of all, it's so mean. Second of all, she didn't want to ride on the Sprinter van. She said it. And to me, it's like it was my dad's funeral, sort of a catch-all for, like, I had a weekend of grief. I don't want to ride 8 hours with you guys. The end.
Don't worry about the 48 hours and where I was and where I wasn't. Like, yeah,
don't worry about where the casket was, where I was. Don't worry.
Don't worry about when I genuflected. Like, it's not.
I wasn't there.
And that doesn't equal feds.
Well, it's such a weird line to draw. Because to think that she would have the power, that she would have any power to get Jenshaw arrested for an investigation that's been going on for years. The FBI just can't be like, click, click, we gotcha. Like, there has to be evidence of some, not that it can be wrong, not that people can't be wrong or any of that. I'm just saying, like, there's an investigation. It can't just be Meredith being like, I'm mad at my friend.
Now, I'm curious because I just saw Teresa on Watch What Happens Live and they were asking Gia, do you think that when Caroline Manzo, do you think she had something to do with, you know, turning your mom in? What do you guys think of that? I just think similarly. It's like, I don't think any one human can do that, but maybe they can.
Well, I also think the Manzos have their own issues. So why would they turn, you know, it's like.
Do they?
Don't they have their own issues, like, with the financial? So I think if it's like, if you know that your finances aren't quite all right, you're not going to go turn them on. Plus, we saw it. We saw the money that was spent. She didn't have to turn her in. As we know, the feds are watching Bravo. That has become fucking clear.
They love it. They love it.
They can really just, like, cut down on a lot of research.
No footwork is needed.
It seems like they're really sinking into it and just, like, grounding themselves with it.
Yeah, they may also be grabbing, like, some snacks and just being like, you know.
Got to turn on my investigation channel tonight. Yeah.
If you are with the FBI and you would like to come on this podcast, I'd love to just, like, keep it light. Like, just talk about which cities you like and all that.
You know, I would love to be, as I've said before on many episodes, in the division of FBI where I play an assistant to a housewife or a makeup artist you know, like, there is a division of the FBI that is doing this, it seemingly. Yeah. And I would really like to get involved. Casey, your gorgeous hair person right now could be in the FBI. We don't know.
Oh my God.
Following.
We got to ask her a few hard-hitting questions.
The worst part of that would not be that she's taking down my life, but, like, is she covering the grays?
Yeah. Like, I hope she, like, is really thorough when she goes in and understands, like, the craft and everything.
And so understands the craft before she's going to come here and try to
infiltrate. Yeah.
Well, you have to be good at both. You really have to be good at both. And that's a small number of people can do both.
That's a very, you're threading that needle if you can do hair and be in the FBI.
Exactly. But I just feel like, so to blame each other is like, no, honey. They're watching the TV show where you're spending money like crazy.
Now, also, the last thing I want to say is, how many more episodes of Salt Lake do we have? It feels like we have about 100 more before we get to the reunion. I want more. Don't get me wrong. I'm not upset, but I'm like, when are we going to? Do we have one more, two more?
I don't know. Does anyone here know?
It felt like this was almost our last, but I don't. That was just based on feeling.
I think that this is like a penultimate. You know what I mean?
Okay, yeah, yeah.
Like we have one more.
And I think we're going to have to watch Lisa Barlow put on a happy face with Meredith the next day, and it's going to feel really gross to see her be like, hey, you know?
Oh, right, because Meredith doesn't know in the
next episode. No, and Lisa doesn't know Meredith knows.
That's kind of exciting, actually. It's I'm really excited good. About that.
It's really nice.
It's really nice. Can I ask you guys a question?
Oh, go ahead.
Why did Mary do this show? Hmm. Like, think about, we know the girls who and why they do the show. There's like a couple different reasons. There's a couple areas. And I, for the life of me, can't figure out Mary's.
Didn't she know Andy from something beforehand? And like,
what?
Am I making this up?
Like, sorry, Danielle, what are you saying?
Guys, I am Googling this. I'm not wrong. Andy Cohen knew Mary Cosby before she was on. Okay, this is all real. Okay. Discusses her run-ins with Andy. Mary Cosby has shared quite a few interesting tidbits about herself. Blah, 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 blah. During Mary's watch alongside Ashley Darby, Andy asked Mary if she ever watched The Real Housewives before she came on. I did. I loved Bethany. I watched blah, blah, blah. During conversation, Andy reveals a little known fact about his past run-ins with Mary. People don't know that Mary and Cosby and I used to go to the same little private gym in the West Village, and we used to see each other at the gym.
I wonder if they are stretching on the mat and Andy's like, where are you from? And she's like, oh, I'm married to my grandpa. He's like, let's get Salt Lake fired up. immediately.
Okay.
We stand corrected, Danielle, first of all.
I know you guys made me sound crazy. We made you guys sound like Kristen Wiig. What we did to Kristen Wiig, mm-hmm. We said that there was no singer there.
At Nene's. Yeah, that's at right. Nene's
house. Yeah.
Wow. I mean, you're right. Deanna, I think all these women, they think it's going to bring them one thing, and it just, they want to be famous, you know?
Okay, so her even like watching Bethany and all that is interesting because she seems so, you know, not interested in other women, and it is part of the deal is that you're going to hang out with others.
When she said, it really made me laugh, when she was like, I'm too cold. Whitney's like, when you go in, can you grab me a blanket? And she said, no.
No.
No. Plain talk.
Plain. Do you like Jen? No.
I mean, it's refreshing. It's refreshing.
God, is it ever.
Very plain. Now, speaking of Jenny, we haven't had the podcast since Jenny's firing from Bravo. The waters that we found ourselves traversing, especially given the last 2 years in our country with your Ramonas, your Kelly Dodds, you know, with all of this, it's like, this isn't why we're here. We want to see these women be monstrous, but not in this way. It's not fun. It's just like, I'm just like, get her gone.
Yeah.
Oh, God,
I also think like those tweets, there was a global reckoning in 2020. You know what I mean? Of everybody saying like, enough. Like, we have to understand Black Lives Matter. You cannot be racist. And people are dying here. And for Jenny during that time to have no conscience with her Facebook, I don't think, like, there's no change.
Oh, she doubled down.
Yeah, I just feel like you're not going to change.
It's interesting because Meghan McCain came out and was like, Bravo didn't fire, you know, there's so many people Bravo haven't fired. And really, they're firing her for the ultimate sin, which is being a Republican. And it's like, no. First of all, we all know the dirty secret that a lot of Orange County gals are Republicans. Yeah, we all know that. I think Heather and, everyone there.
And Beverly Hills. There we had a lot.
Yeah, we got some real, you know, we got.
And New York.
And Jersey, are you kidding me? For sure.
We got some, you know, some red staters with us. But that's not the problem here. The problem here is this blatant, like, racism that is so dangerous. That's the issue.
And it's in other places, too. I don't find watching Ramona fun at all either anymore. Mm-mm. I honestly don't. So it's not just Jenny. I am like, I was glad I couldn't even watch fucking Kelly Dodd. I don't want to watch Ramona anymore. I truly don't. I'm done with Ramona personally.
And I think that the outrage that everyone felt, you know, is very powerful. And all the viewers, you know, were enraged by Jenny, and so good, because it moved everything along quite quickly. And I think that's great.
Yep. Me too. Should we take a break and come back with New Jersey?
All right, we're back. Hi, everyone. Can we talk New Jersey? Because I truly was so excited by this episode. It felt like a new day or something.
It was absolutely explosive. And Andy had said, we're going to love Jersey this year. You know, they'll always give us the like what's coming this season. I found this one to be almost our best ever. The way they did the music and the and all of it, it was just the editing was so alive and it felt so kind of scary. I was so tense and I was loving it. But then we got a little taste of like bikinis fun and then it went right back to darkness. It just really thrilled me.
Now, this Bill Aiden affair has shaken me to my core.
It's really affected you.
Did we know about this beforehand?
We only knew that Margaret had alluded to it before. You know,
I don't remember.
She did it around the table outside. I don't know where they were, but she's alluded to it before.
Wow.
Well, we got it pretty straight this time.
And remember, there were rumors that he had girls in the back house.
Right.
Does like that ring a bell?
I guess I didn't want to see it, maybe, you know?
And I also, we've heard rumors about everyone in New Jersey. Like Kim G is just going around and Kim D are just little birds, like spreading anything and everything. So like, it's hard to know what's real. You know, yeah. It's like Donald Trump. It's hard to know what's real. They just talk because they're angry or sad or mad or want to stir up trouble. And
happy.
So like, or whatever. They just start shit.
However the mood strikes.
Exactly. Because, you know, so they're like little sociopaths. And so you hear from everything. But until I hear it, like I don't really believe it. Like I never believed what Jackie's husband cheated. Like I didn't believe that. I just didn't.
Well, the best was on Watch What Happens Live. Andy's like, no, don't you think it was pretty bad? Like you kind of did the same thing, Teresa. You know, you dropped a bomb that someone cheated at a party because Teresa was like, it was terrible what Margaret did. And she was like, no, that was different. She's like, that was just rumors. These were facts. And basically, like, simultaneously, like, indicting Bill further, but also being like, mine was so different. It's like, that's not that different, actually. You're damaging someone's reputation and marriage. Yeah. You know, the gals, and look, you know, we don't like to get into everyone's looks here.
But we're going to.
We like to preface it.
Not on this one. Not today,
not on
ladies.
This one. I'll just drop the preface.
Yeah, preface. Yeah. All prefaces down, okay? Because it was, I could barely gather when she was saying the thing about the pharmaceutical rep, like I wanted to take it all in, you know, but I'm like, I am so gobsmacked by what I'm seeing.
With your eyes, not with your ears.
My eyes are in shock.
It's a toughie because the nose. Look, I know a lot of people who've gotten nose jobs, and I'm all
the window to the soul, really.
Yeah. Sounds like we're back in preface.
Yeah, Danielle, just no preface.
It is what it is.
You know, and she's clapping back at everyone and being like, if you've got a problem with my nose, she goes, take it up with the plastic surgeon. And it's like, sorry, what? like she's basically being like, I know it sucks. Not my fault. Call him. But also like, don't you say a word about my nose. Like,
also, it's optional. It's not a bypass. You know what I mean? Like, you are a part of this choice.
You made this choice.
You made it. We can take it up with you and with him.
We can take it up with whoever we want, actually.
Yeah, actually.
I have a question because she also got her
chin implant,
but then she took it out. Now, how did we get it in on the show?
What we saw was in?
Oh, chin. Chin was in. The chin is in.
Okay.
But now the chin is out?
Apparently chin out. But no, chin was in. What we will be seeing, I believe, for this season is chin in.
Okay.
Chin. Yeah.
Chin. Okay. So chin was there, nose was new. Okay, the best was when Bill does sort of make me laugh sometimes. So when Bill, she was like, I hope like nothing happens at the pool party today. And he goes, better not, because of your face. Like, I don't want your work getting fucked up.
Yeah, he's like, we're already in a real shoddy spot with it. So
right.
I do think now when we had that scene, now I'm kind of putting some pieces together when she was still bandaged and he's like, well, the bandages come off really quickly in the United States. Like, I don't know, because in the earlier scene, she still had like,
yeah.
And now we understand why. I think she might have tried to do the whole season with those bandages, but she couldn't, you know? I mean,
no, she couldn't. I've never seen someone debut a nose and people across the whole pool were gasping. And she's a beautiful girl. This isn't a preface.
But I also, and I will say this, I know people that have gotten many nose jobs and you know, and it does help self-esteem. So I'm all for that as well, because I do think there is self-esteem and you're like, I want to change this thing about me. I want to change this thing about me.
And now when she yelled, this is why I do love Jen sometimes, when she said, it wasn't an office manager, it was a pharmaceutical rep. I'm like, the line of a lifetime.
Of a lifetime.
For her to quick come back with that distinction.
Gorgeous.
It's like, I don't know where that gets us. Is it better? It seemed quite linear, you know? It was like, at least get your facts right. I was just dying. I was howling in bed by myself. It was so funny.
I mean, this perfect season.
Okay. Now, and let's just say what I believe we're saying is we like these women as God made them. And who I am so devastated by their work, because I think Margaret Josephs was so beautiful. This wide rubber band mouth is the stretch. It looks like, you know, when you go to the dentist and I don't know what they're doing, their teeth whitening, and they put in that thing that spreads you wide.
It's like on Girls Trip when they played the game.
Yes.
Let me ask you guys, is this a dental issue or a plastic surgery? Because I'm wondering if she got veneers.
Danielle. Okay. That would make a horse mouth. It would make a lip go over like a horse tooth. This, to have the length, the horizontal nature of this is so, I'm like, who am I looking at? I'm not looking at the cute, gorgeous woman that I love looking at.
Yeah. Well, it started like, so did you like her lower facelift originally?
I'm sorry, it's just the way you said it. So I didn't mind it, but that's what happens. Is that now
you get
we're
this, and then it's like,
now I love Sonia's lower face. You know, I do.
Sonia's lower face. Sonia's lower work wondering is about a lower face because it's dynamite. Gorgeous. So that's dynamite. The thing. It's like good. It's like that roll of the dice.
When it's good, it's good.
But you don't know. You don't know what you're, because you're working with a foundation, and so you could have the best doctor in the world, but you have.
If you've got a crumbling foundation, you know, you're going to need a retaining wall.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So,
and there's not a retaining wall on some of these faces, and you don't know till you get in there.
Now, I'll tell you what does not need a retaining wall, you know, and this defies all laws of nature, is my beautiful, my gorgeous Dolores's rear. Now, Dolores, I'm also sad about, because she couldn't be more beautiful. To me, I've stated she and Cynthia, to me, are the most beautiful housewives that we've ever had. And yet she's done a ton. Now, I still think she's fucking gorgeous. So what she does can do no wrong.
It's worked out for now. For now. She's rolling the dice. Sometimes, you know, Jen rolled the dice a lot. She got a lot of things done. It all worked out. And then one roll went south.
Couple rolls because the chin is coming out.
Yeah.
And I'm also saying I agree with Deanna, which is that even with a good foundation, you're rolling the dice. Every
Always.
Time you do it, it's a gamble.
So your doctor could be in a stinky mood. And there's trends, by the way. You know, there's like, right this second, boobs. I mean, we knew people who got those hard, high boobs that everyone got when we were in our 20s.
You know, they're doing things, and I'm really feeling it in Jersey in a way I wish I didn't.
Yeah.
That pool party. What are you going to do? Let's move on to, I think we need to talk actually about Lee.
Oh, okay.
Now this was.
Okay. Let's get our heads on straight, because
I watched the video. I don't know what I'm looking at when I watch this video. I have to say, I can't land with this video, you know, you said something to me also, Deanna, on our chain, which was like, it has MAGA energy.
I did not say that.
I said that, Danielle.
Oh, Casey, sorry. Yeah.
Oh, it's MAGA'd out. It's like, these guys are so full of testosterone. Like, they're going to kill us all. Like, if a woman had run by, they all would have just strangled the life out of her. Even though they were there to, like, repent, it would have been like of mice and men.
But they were so angrily repenting, like, I love you.
I also think under the camera, they're jerking each other off.
Like, he was so angry. It was like, say it more. Say what you did wrong. I'm a jerk.
It felt like a bad acting class we've all been in, you know, where the teacher's like, you're not there yet. You're not there yet.
Yeah, I don't know what it was, some sort of male retreat with a bunch of testosterone dudes that honestly like scared
juiced up guys. Juiced up as they come.
To me, what looked like a small jacuzzi.
Well, I think they were on the beach.
Oh, I thought it was a jacuzzi.
So we both had two very different reads of those environs.
I had a different take on it.
Okay, because I've had a change of heart too. Go ahead, Yana.
Yeah, so I did not. First of all, I have heard of these type of man retreats before. And I didn't find it. Yes, the men behind him were like, it's such a wild visual. But I'm like, it feels almost, and please take this with, you know, a grain, but it feels like we're almost promoting this toxic, like, masculinity where men can't gather and retreat and have their emotions out. And I think it's not so far from a Miraval or a Heidi's Rose Robbins retreat with one leader and then a group of your own trying to like help you move through shit. So I don't, obviously it wasn't meant to be a public thing, and I didn't find it, although the aesthetics were wild.
They were lacking. They weren't what you wanted.
Well, they were. It was a lot of men in, you know, no shirt. It was a crazy view. But the act of like what I thought was trying to get in touch with feelings and needing other men to help you do that is what my takeaway was. I thought was not a terrible thing.
I got to say, I've sat with it a lot over, you know, the night. And first of all, I'm mad at myself that I'd never seen it before. And I just want to briefly say, I love the way they put all the tweets up. That was gorgeous editing. But I think Deanna, as again, like, I think you might be right. It's like he didn't want that out there. Because when I first viewed it, I thought he put it out there, like, it's almost like self-punishing, you know, for whatever he had done. It was like, I released this. But then it's like, it's not commendable to at least go and try to work through feelings. Clearly, you know, based off the story I told in the opening, I need to go somewhere myself. So I think I'm a little bit more with you. Was it weird? Did it feel kind of, it just felt had a creepy energy and an intensity to it that I just think we're not used to seeing?
Well, see what I think is, like, I'm surprised that they're freaking out about this, because my problem with it is not like a bunch of half naked guys in a pool.
Like, on the beach.
Where do you have
there was no water. They were not standing in anything.
I bet it had pool energy. I can only feel what I feel, Casey.
Because they were on a beach. Yeah. There's probably energy. A pool nearby.
Pool energy.
Okay.
Jacuzzi energy.
Jacuzzi energy. It did have jacuzzi energy.
It did have jacuzzi energy.
Absolutely
right. Okay, thank
you. And hot, sweaty jacuzzi energy.
Yeah, it's
absolutely.
Jacuzzi
right.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay. So we're in a jacuzzi.
Yeah.
But my problem. I'm surprised they were like, should we all talk about it? We got to bring it up. That to me was like, I'm surprised they're freaking out about it. To me, what I can't make heads or tail of is just like, I don't like that type of male energy. It's too intense for me. I don't like that type of guy that's like the anger in there is not like the anger love. I find
but
terrifying.
I think they were there to try to not be that kind of guy.
But it felt like they were hyping it up to be that type of guy. Like they were
but also like expressing feelings.
Right. I mean, I think the leader who was behind the camera was trying to say like, you're like, words are words, you know, let's feel some things. And I think that it is not like the most comfortable thing for men to sort of try to get down into those feelings, and it doesn't look cute. Do you know what I mean?
I think it looks scary, not that he's having emotions, but that, like, if I were his girlfriend or whatever at the time that was getting that, I would be like, this is a lot.
No,
like,
see, I think there's so many girlfriends that have been cheated on and they're like, go get yourself straight. And when they get that video, they just rattle off those videos. It's like cameos for them. They just all put another guy in the middle and they rattle them off cameos. Quicker than quick. And each woman's like, well, he went and worked on himself.
Yeah.
You know, and they're good. At that point, it's like we're closing the chapter on, you know, the pharmaceutical rep and we're moving on. Yeah. I would like to see Bill Aiden get on over there.
I want Bill shirt Aiden. Off. I want. There was one guy, if you guys didn't see it, I would just urge you to go back and take another view. He was on the left-hand side of the screen. Yes,
I remember the left-hand guy. I really circled in on him.
A little leprechaun of a happy face, like just sort of framed out for most of it. But whenever we caught him.
Yeah, he was like, but at like nipple level.
Yeah,
kind of.
He was the smaller one. And he was like. He was cheesing happy for the camera, and it was just so hilarious. Like, I didn't really appreciate him.
Anyway, you know, someone sent a DM to me that I think is worth bringing up. Again, do I have it in front of me or their name? No. Someone said, you know, all this time we've been so worried about, like, Teresa's kids and how are they taking this in the jail time. And, of course, we are. We love them. But also, like, where are the Gorga kids in all this?
Meaning?
I don't know. I'm not really sure.
Pose a question without really knowing what you're posing.
Are you saying in terms of the kids? Like
when Teresa said that, you know, Melissa was a stripper, when there's all these fights and yelling, you know, and Teresa's yelling at Joe all the time. It's like, where are their kids involved in this? It's like the focus is, I feel for Joe Gorga. I just want to throw that out there because I do think it's like Teresa's whole thing is like, you stick up for me and you better be there for me. And now it's like, well, he's doing it, but Teresa's kind of can't like sell him out because that's all she's been demanding that he do. But then there are the girls. And it's like, he shouldn't have done this. I do think it's like the girls are never going to turn on their dad, but they're so close to it. He is their father. But of course, like what Joe Gorga is saying is all true.
And they're saying but I will say what Joe Gorga is responsible for is he's got to keep trying with them because he's an adult and they're children. And they said, we have not spoken to him in 6 months. He hasn't called us anything in 6 months. So if I'm the adult in the situation and I really love my nieces and feel very close with them and want to be the second father to them, then that is your responsibility to keep trying, to apologize and say, look, it's hard for me. Because I love you girls so much and there's pain here and I have.
But they want him to take it back and say, actually, like, I love your dad.
Well, then
and
he
it's
can't
just
do
not
that.
The case.
So then they could say, look, we have to agree to disagree about your dad. I shouldn't disparage him in public. That is, you know, because I understand that that hurts you. So
it's
I
like,
can't.
It's in public. We're on a reality show. I mean, like, it's so tricky.
Yeah, I mean, because they can't, you know, and I think probably any kids who have been through this particular thing where a parent has gone away, you know, has anger that it's so complicated. They're so young. They were so young. They missed so much time. And like, they can't hate their dad because they miss so much time with their dad. Mm-hmm.
And believe you me, there probably is anger towards their dad as well.
But they it's like, let us say that. Let us do that.
And it's much easier, though, to be angry at their mom, which they were, you know, when she was home and she said anything about their dad. Gia was up her ass last season.
And that's also moms getting the short end of every fucking stick.
Yeah. And then, like, it's much easier for them to hate, you know, to be pissed at Joe because they know he's not really going anywhere. And also it's easier to be mad at him than their dad, you know, and I do feel badly. But also Gia was talking shit. She was talking about him in earshot and in an Italian family. Like, that's not that wasn't great.
Anything else, guys? I just think it's explosive. So it remains so attracted to Dolores' son. Frankie Jr.
He must be cleaning up in New Jersey real estate.
Oh, he is.
Just must be like destroying.
Yep.
I can't even imagine.
Can't even begin to imagine what's going on with him.
I cannot begin. It sounds like you have been imagining, Casey.
Yeah. He's like what Lisa's accused Meredith of being, just a whore running around. And I love it for him.
Yeah.
But you know what? A nice, kind boy.
And no problem. Like, and he's going to clean up. It's going to be fine.
No problem.
Like, no problem.
And I will also just say, I'm very upset by the Men of Jersey's comedy show.
I can't even.
Oh my God, Danielle, I can't even believe. I forgot to bring that up because what I wrote on my notes is enough of this, enough of the PD, enough of the pharmaceutical rep, enough of Teresa, enough of Louis, enough of everyone. How dare you not show us the storytelling and comedy show that took place in Atlantic City?
Oh God, Casey.
But that I just don't know.
I just what don't
that show
know.
Is. I don't know what that. I can't imagine.
And to have a headliner of Frank Catania, you know, it was just so very wild.
What is Frank doing? What is Frank doing at the show? Is he building things on stage?
I don't know. I mean, it was just so good. And there was one line I loved, which was a combo effort between Jackie and Margaret. Is when Margaret said, "She's all smoke mirrors and foggy diamonds." I love it.
Would you rather go to a Boys of New Jersey comedy hour, I don't know the real title, or a Luann cabaret show?
Luann.
Okay.
But I would like them to come up and kind of like and do a number.
Because I feel like the Luann show is an hour tops. She doesn't have enough material. You know what I mean? And she'll
Can we give
have
them
some,
a 10 spot.
Like, yeah. And she sometimes has like special Broadway guests. Like there's some stuff there that we can attach our eyes to.
You like, can they open for her kind of thing?
Yeah.
And then like they bring her out, you know, like they carry her out.
Yes.
The Jersey Boys, that show is 2 hours at least.
And did you hear the audience? I didn't hear one laugh. Poor Melissa was like, ooh.
Like it, I don't know what that show is. And I don't, it's Joe. It's Frank. It's
Joe Benigna.
Joe Benigna. Who never says, what's he talking about?
Margaret Joseph's contractor husband.
Oh. Wow.
What's he got to say?
What's he up to? Should we take a quick break and we'll do super quick OC?
Yes.
We're back with Deanna Chang. Deanna, what do you got for Orange County?
I mean, you know, I get the vibe that people are not enjoying it. And I have to say, I kind of am. And I don't know, you know, what that says about me, really, at the end of the day.
I kind of am, too.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm like, is it in my pecking order on the highest? No, but I'm still enjoying it.
Okay.
It's just, oh, yeah.
Yeah, like, I feel like Emily and the other one.
The other one. See, I always go Gina and the other one.
Okay, so we'll get there. I knew together we'd
have
it.
Yeah.
Together we'd get there.
Yeah, I feel like they've come into their own on a level where...
not enough for you to remember.
No. Not that
because they're
much.
Each half a housewife, remember.
Right. Oh, yeah. And they are. And they know it. You know? And together, like, there's something about their vibe that I'm just enjoying, you know, this time around.
Yeah. That I haven't enjoyed very much other times around.
Right. And I haven't either. You know, I don't know if they're more comfortable or maybe what's going on. It doesn't matter. And then Noella is just...
She has Brandy energy to me.
Yeah, she's just a little too much of a loose cannon for me. Like, she's almost dominating so much that, like, we can't really deal with anyone else, which I resent. Like, at the dinner, I was just like, I do want what Emily wants, which is just, like, take it back a little. Like, she's so toxic and dominating to me. Like, I just want her back 10%. But, of course, you're right. She was built for this. She was made for this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it seems. I mean, and you also, you know, the girls were really trying to manage her back, that 10%. And that also isn't going to work. You know, it's not.
No. If anything, we're going to amp up.
Well, just the roller coaster ride of her being like, I will not apologize. I did not give your daughter pornography. And then her telling her what was in the card. And she's like, I apologize. I gave your daughter pornography. Like, it was such a wild.
She's like, I'm mortified. Yeah. Like, it
and
was
then
just...
defensive again. Like, it went everywhere.
And then as accused Heather of having, quote, straight fragility.
It was.
But here's the thing about Heather, though, guys.
Go ahead.
Here's the thing. Okay, Heather pissed me off the entire episode.
Yeah,
I don't like Heather. You're in a very safe space here.
Tip to tail, she bothered me on this particular episode, you know, and she has said pornography. She gave my daughter pornography. And then when Noella was like, I'm a biracial, bisexual woman in Orange County, then Heather said something about, I'm sure you didn't know what was in the cards. She is never, like, the whole lead up to that was like, you imagine that these were handcrafted cards by Noella, that, you know, there was something on the front of the card that would allow you to know this deck of cards was filth pot. But then once she was set, she told her that. So I'm like, you know, Heather, really, she's so conscious of how she's going to look at all times. That accusation, which I do think there was some validity to the accusation of being like, hey, you, I mean, it's huge. So to say you gave my kid pornography is very, it's
inflammatory.
A lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a lot. And I think, you know, Heather walked it back.
I think Heather thought it was a storyline. I do think Noella didn't know it was inside of there, didn't look, didn't care to. That's Noella. And then yes. Heather saw it and was like, Jesus fucking Christ, this is for my kid. But I think the real story, if we weren't on real TV, was like, you gave my daughter something you didn't check out first.
That's
it's
right.
Inappropriate. I'm going to let you know, hey, this is what you gave my daughter. I'm sure you didn't mean to. But just FYI, don't do that to a kid again. That's how in real life that conversation would have gone.
Right. But. And Noella, like, you know, for all of her, she knew what was happening. And so that's why she was so defensive. But yeah, she had no idea. Like, I did feel for her because that's such a horrible accusation. And it's, she yep. was trying to give the kid a fun little, it was, I saw that it ended up being like Cards for Humanity, which is also for LGBTQ. And so I think like, people also have heard of Cards of Humanity.
Right. It's not like this obscure, like, erotica shop that she went to. And that's what Heather made it seem like.
Exactly. Yeah. And so, you know, I mean, Heather, the other thing I felt watching her, and I said it to myself a few times, like, she is running on fumes.
Which
Heather
one?
Is built on fumes.
They're both built on fumes, just different fumes.
Different fumes. But Heather's fumes are like, all of this, all the planning, all the money, all the things is to keep her hovering above the planet. Because the truth of it is, she did not go as far as she wanted in her career.
Damn!
And she is not as beautiful as she thinks she is.
Damn.
And she's not as clever or fucking funny as she thinks she is. Ooh. And that's why she has to hover.
Wow, 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 wow.
Wow.
That is someone taking someone down a peg.
I've never heard anything more true spoken on this podcast.
Oof, I am like sweating.
Well, you had a monologue.
Like I really, something's sitting in my chest now that actually something's been lifted because such truth has been spoken.
Yeah, when the truth, what you feel the truth.
Like it's vibrated through my chakras. Yeah.
You can feel the truth and I felt that.
Whew.
And it, you, wow. You had to, you were exercised.
Yeah.
I was like sweat lodged.
Because, you know, I've been trying to pull together what it is I hate about Heather. And there's the obvious things, you know, and I could give you, you know, I have a bunch of things I didn't like about her this episode. But the main one, you just like brought it all together, which is just for me having everyone sit around while you call your husband and ask him if you can buy an $8 million property and you've got your girlfriend standing there. Is so abhorrent, even for a reality show. Like, you bring one close girlfriend, whatever, and then making all the girls have to be like, hi, Terry, can Heather get her house? When a lot of these women are, you know, nowhere near where she's at. But what you just said is like, oh.
I had one other smaller and not as consequential thought about Heather, which is at one time she's like, Terry puts up with all my shenanigans. And I was like, oh, in your mind, you're Lucy.
Yeah.
And he's Desi.
Yes.
And you're the wacky girl who's mucking it up and Terry Pate. And I'm like, that is not what this is. You are not wacky. You are not fun. You are not silly. You are just spending exorbitant amounts of money.
Yeah. And I hate when people with money try to do this thing where, like, when Terry was like, hey, buddy, really quick question for you. Can you loan me $15 million?
And
she's like, oh, Terry. Like, she's like, and I just have to be price conscious for Terry. It's like, you guys are disgusting.
Yeah.
$8 million house. You're for the land. You're fucking, I want to see the Cortez Sea and the this is and the that's. He goes, that's cool. They're disgusting pieces of shit.
I don't know why. I am also starting to be offended by their money. And I know that there is tons of money on these shows and we are seeing
it's the way she wields it. She's wielding it.
to make everybody go on these stupid fucking house tours?
Kyle has more money than God, and she doesn't wield it and hold it over people's heads. Either.
I think it's the way she wields it, Kyle.
Oh, yeah. Candy doesn't do that.
Oh, Candy has tons God,
no.
Of money.
You God,
know, you never feel that off her. You never feel that
You're
off
not
her.
Even, it's not even like part of the background of the play with them. It's just like, oh, yeah, okay. But it's so, ugh. Last thing about OC. Well, first of all, the sweat lodge scene,
we need to deal with sweat
unreal. I was crying listening to what was happening in that goddamn womb, like sweat lodge, when Emily's heaving and then Gina's like, I'm crying because you guys are sad. And then the next thing you know, they're like, Noella's passed out. Get someone in here. Then we're seeing producers rushing and dragging Noella's lifeless body out.
Bones.
And then Emily is, of course, like, where's our Gatorade? And then Gina stubbing her toe. And then Gina's crying. And then Noella appears and is like, Gina, you got to let it out. Like, this is a wild plot.
I mean, I kind of was like, wow, I am intrigued. It's almost ayahuasca-ish, it feels like. But, like, I was intrigued by what came up.
And what was going on in there?
You know? It was really hot. And your defenses are down when you're really fucking hot. And
those women were up to something in there. They knew some things. I believe they were with a healer in there.
I think so.
Yeah.
I do think you have to have a certain BMI to be put in there. Like, she just simply didn't have BMI. Danielle, you don't have BMI for the sweat lodge.
Do not compare me to Noella.
I have to, because
yeah,
it's not about
you don't
compare.
Have BMI to
you
get in there.
You don't have BMI for the sweat lodge, and you need to know that going forward. Like, yeah. Some
well,
people
I would
just...
never go in a sweat lodge.
Okay,
I do
good,
do hot.
Great.
I do hot yoga though. I do do hot yoga.
Okay. Well,
I mean, what made me sad, which I felt like we didn't really deal with because we didn't have time, because Noella, you know, it always becomes about her. Be it that she passed out, whatever it is, be it her BMI, be it whatever. But what we didn't get to, which made me sad, was Emily's deep sadness that came up.
Yeah, I wanted to hear more.
Poor Emily. There's so much sadness there, so much disappointment, so much like settling. Like, we never talked about this, honestly, because it was too kind of dark, I felt like, to even recap a few episodes ago. And she was like, Shane and I are making it work and we're doing better, because mainly she literally said, if you're in Orange County and you're a mom of three, you just, no one's going to want to be with you here.
Oh.
She was basically like, there's no, I'll have no one else. It made me so sad.
It's not true for her, by the
I
way.
Know.
You know.
You guys, I've come around to Shane a little bit.
We all have.
And we all have.
We've had to.
Okay, can I just say Shannon killed me when she said the following. I mean, it literally killed me to... Someone's like, now, Shannon, would you ever take a third into your marriage? And she's like, her one misgiving about bringing a third in is that she's like, that person would have to see all this. And she pointed to her body. Like, she doesn't want a third because she doesn't want to have to be the third to have to take in her body.
Most Shannon answer of a lifetime.
So Shannon.
I thought the Shannon answer, another Shannon answer of the lifetime, is her secret anger at Heather's money.
Oh, God.
Because just
not
when
so
they're
secret.
Walking, well, when they're walking through the house, she's like, well, it's too big. I mean, maybe it's my age, but I couldn't walk up four steps of stairs.
Yeah, she can't. Like, she's like, this is double the size of my house. Like, she can bear, because she had a taste of something close-ish. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. She had more than a taste. She had a bite.
She had a nice bite. I don't recall. I don't really know.
They had a basketball court.
Yeah, and they had like... things like air shipped in that have been like neutralized.
Oh, wow. Oh yeah, I don't know all that for whatever reason.
What in the world? Yeah, you're right. They had like negative ions shipped in and stuff.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I didn't know
it
that.
Was like flooring that was anti, you know, like bacterial.
Aging.
Or
anti-aging flooring.
Floorboards.
Guys, has anyone seen the Gwyneth Paltrow Architectural Digest tour of her home?
Of course I have.
With the spa?
Of course I have.
Wow.
I have. And I'm going to say something that is so Heather-esque after everything I just said.
Okay.
And that's like where I guess, you know, we all do contain multitudes, you know. But, you know, when we went through the spa...
Okay.
Of Gwen's house, and a lot was made of the kind of fixtures in the shower. I've had those in my house for 2 years and I picked it out myself and it just felt good to see it.
Wow.
It felt good to see it because I picked that out myself. So then to see that GP had picked it out.
That's pretty huge. Congratulations, Casey.
Proud of you.
Thank you, guys.
Well, I mean, I go on Goop and I bought a deodorant from Goop.
It's not my style necessarily, that house. It's not my style, but the article made me laugh so hard when she goes, we spent a lot of time assessing family patterns, how we really live.
Yeah.
I was like, all right, calm down.
I mean, there were some where I fell apart were really the light fixtures in the in the rooms, in the kitchen and in the living room. But other than that, I just thought it was like stunning.
Me too. And special. I find where Heather, I find so much for some reason, I don't know why, but I find Gwyneth's luxury very relaxing.
It is.
You know what I mean?
Where it is. It's beautifully done.
Like
it's thought
nails
out.
On a chalkboard for me.
Yes. There's nothing relaxing about Heather's home. I don't want to be in a single spot in that house.
I guess. And again, I don't know what it's just that's
taste.
Where I come down.
Taste.
Guys. Taste. I think a lot of truths are spoken. Some were kinder than others. And some were just, there was a lot of plain talk on the episodes and there was plain talk here.
And right. No tagging, guys, please. Please. Always.
Honestly, tagging. I'm fine on tagging with this.
No. No,
I'm kidding.
Casey.
I'm kidding.
No.
I'm kidding.
Oh my God, that's so scared.
Guys, I'm kidding. Please never. No, never, never. No. We spoke too plainly.
Guys, please. I saw someone tag Jen Shaw with our Uber story the other day. Guys.
Yeah, who did that? Don't do that. We cannot bring people on here if you tag. And I know what you're thinking. Like, tons of people listen to this. They're going to find out. Guess what? They don't.
Yeah.
So they only find out when you tag.
As we know, they can't finish an article of a
magazine.
No, they
cannot.
They're not listening to a podcast.
Content.
They can't find this podcast.
No, they wouldn't be able to. They wouldn't be able to.
They couldn't if they tried to actively look for it, nor could their teams.
If you put it in their feeds, their assistant will do it.
Flag.
Yeah. Their assistant that is.
Wow. Thank you so much, Deanna Chang. Will you give us a plug for the Montage Queen before you go? Because
yes,
our listeners, a lot of them are loving you in this capacity.
Thank you so much. It was sprung out of, you know, kind of doing montages and doing your pieces for your show. And I was just doing more editing and really enjoying it. And last year I started my company called The Montage Queen. I've had many, many Bitch Sesh listeners come through. We have done videos for anniversaries and memorials and many, many birthdays and
bar mitzvah.
Graduations and bar mitzvahs and graduations. And it's just been a wonderful, wonderful experience. You guys know I get real in there.
But you craft these into tell their and you literally, it's like a jewel. You sand them down. This isn't just like, here's a few photos. This is like,
no,
it's so
no,
above
no,
and
no.
beyond.
You
it's
know,
a, it's I, a gift that'll last a lifetime for real.
Yeah. I take it very seriously and I think it's a privilege to be, I'm going to cry. I do really genuinely think it's a privilege to be able to create something special for other people that is meaningful and that they can, you know, have forever. And yeah. And so, you know, like,
you're making me cry.
And you really take care. Like, Deanna, when you did for my father's birthday, you really made something. And this was for us during COVID and we couldn't see him. And it was a special birthday. And you made something that I have watched so many times.
Aww.
And you really got in there because you ask good questions. So people really come with such warmth to these montages. And it's like being there. And it's something that even when the party's over or the thing is over or the wedding shower or whatever it is over, there is this wonderful memento. And it's always done with humor and with warmth and with love. And I just,
it's so much better than like a watch or a book. It's like, this is something that is so, it's a once in a lifetime thing to hear how people like think of you. And I don't mean to be dark, but like, these are things you might normally like, this would be at a funeral, the way you get people to open up about people. And of course, you know, I believe that you'll be at your own funeral from the spiritual realm. But other than that, that's nice. And I don't mean to discourage anyone from getting a video just because you'll be there. But I just think it's such an opportunity to tell people like how you feel.
Yes, I do classic montages. And then what you guys are talking about is called the party line, which is, you know, you grab a handful of people that are really special and we together create a few personalized prompts and have everybody answer, upload to the Dropbox, and then put it together. And it is always like, I'm finalizing one right now for a woman. And I love this. I think she might be one of your listeners, but she got it for her mom. She is one of your listeners, Brittany. And her mom is turning 69 this year. But due to the pandemic, she's like, we're celebrating my 70th. Because you know what? Like, I'm not waiting till 70 to have a big party and have fun. So we're doing that. 70 minus one is what we're doing right now for her. And I'm dying. Like, she has these three friends who were, one of the prompts is like, if Diane was an animal, what would she be and why? And one of them was like, the three are together, her girlfriends. And like, you'd be a rabbit because you love sex. And I'm like, oh my God, I can't believe this is in the montage. You know, but so cute.
So cute. Goodbye, everyone. Thank you.
Bye.
Goodbye.